everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The state of Victoria in Australia, if you thought it couldn't get any worse after their ridiculous COVID restrictions, well, it can. So let's have a look at this article from the Daily Mail titled, "Distraught parents now face prosecution if they don't accept gender transition of their vulnerable kids, as experts slam radical new law based on ideology and falsehood." So yes, this is pretty horrifying stuff, and I'm going to read a little bit from here. New Victorian law, because of course in Australia they have states that legislate themselves, they don't necessarily legislate these things at a federal level, it's at a state level. A new Victorian law which forces mothers and fathers to accept their children's desires to change their gender has left distraught parents fearing prosecution if they do anything to try and prevent potentially harmful and irreversible treatment. So far-reaching is the new law that even trying to arrange counselling and expert assessment for the kids could lead to parents and the mental health professionals being prosecuted, although that's true as well, if the advice did anything other than affirm the children's newly discovered gender dysphoria. Many parents feel trapped, unable to do anything to prevent their children pursuing potentially irreversible and harmful changes, from chest binding to taking hormone blockers and ultimately sex change surgery. And while the parents are powerless to intercede, their kids are often subject to encouragement and cajoling from activist pro-trans teachers and counsellors. One parent even found text messages from a counsellor to her daughter advising the child to leave home so she could escape her sceptical parents and freely pursue her newly found wish to transition to being a boy.
As far as I'm concerned, this is the state actively declaring war on parents, which is something unsurprising. The state has always had its eye on your children as their own property, but this is just making it explicit. This is the same sort of thing that you see in Canada and certain states in the US. Thankfully, I don't think we've gone this far in the UK yet.
Well, we're going in the opposite direction. We've got the Tavistock Clinic closing down, which is our gender clinic, and we're going to treat gender dysphoria more on par with other conditions. So we're going to consider other things now rather than just purely the gender dysphoria by ideologically possessed medical professionals.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, one of the problems of this sort of thing, I mean, or at least one of the ways that they try and dress it up is they will say that, oh, the science is telling us that this is what we need to do or else people will kill themselves. And people do not take into account the idea that people who are, like, scientists themselves are people and they're just as vulnerable to ideological and political capture as anybody else and are more likely to gatekeep the profession against those who would, you know, push against that ideology.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm a scientist. I have lots of ideas about the way the world should be. I mean, it's on both sides of the aisle. You can't escape it, really. So, fearful of prosecution, parents in this predicament have formed a clandestine network to exchange ideas on how to approach the legal minefield laid down by the Change of Suppression Conversion Practices Prohibition Act of 2021, which is quite a mouthful. Sarah, who I don't think that's her real name, who is also a health professional, said her teenage daughter suffered low-grade anxiety and had become caught in the social contagion of gender dysphoria, and health professionals were too scared to treat her. One experienced mental health professional told us candidly that no one would see our child because it's too politicized, Sarah said. So my child is just a political football for vote-chasing politicians. And I feel like this parent has got it spot on. That's exactly what's going on. This is a vote-winning thing for their own side. They've got the Labour Party in charge now in Australia.
Oh dear, that explains it then.
Although, of course, that's the federal government and this is a state thing, but I think Victoria, they have Labour in charge.
Well, whoever is in charge, if they're passing acts that force parents to be able to have to go ahead with this stuff, whether, you know, whether they want to or not, or whether they see it as in the child's best interest or not, I can pretty much imagine it's a leftist in charge there.
Mm-hmm. Because the Liberal Party, although they're kind of a bit like our Conservatives in that they
mostly useless.
However, they do have some more actual liberal ideas than are Conservatives, which is quite amusing because you'd think the Conservatives would be more on the right than the Liberals, but apparently not. So it carries on saying the Victorian Equality, Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission has been tasked with policing the act, which that sounds like something straight out of the Soviet Union. Its website states it is now an offence for a parent to refuse to support their child's request for medical treatment that will prevent physical changes from puberty that do not align with the child's new gender identity. And it is also an offence to deny their child access to any healthcare services that would affirm that identity. And in the case any parent thought that they could seek counselling for their children outside of Victoria, the Act now makes that an offence too. And so too is telling your child to reflect further before going ahead with the gender transition, with the Commission's website warning parents that the definition of gender suppression could include wait-and-see approaches and not just overt opposition to children's wishes.
That's very interesting that it means that you can't go outside of Victoria to get counselling for your children as well, because that's basically makes this even more restrictive, makes it kind of a restriction on freedom of movement around
it's
the country as well.
So totalitarianly evil that you get wedge yourself in between a parent and their child and then use the state to leverage them apart and then just pretend like you're the new parent that knows better for the child than the parent themselves.
Well, of course, that's how you're able to ideologically capture people. It's most easy to do when they're young. I mean, up until, you know, people think that they're mature when they hit their early 20s, when they're in the universities, but they're not. They're still very malleable and very easily manipulated. And there's a nice big range of time where if you let the parents form their values, form their opinions, they might actually turn out to be healthy, well-adjusted individuals who don't want to go ahead with the absurdist ideology that's going around today.
Yeah, there's clearly an incentive, a political incentive, to pry them apart from their parents, to create a societal substrate where this nihilistic leftism can kind of take over their mind, like some sort of contagion, as actually they use that word explicitly. Yeah, and it is horrifying. I don't know how people can even want to live in Victoria anymore, let alone raise a family when they're doing things like this. This is
not to encourage
evil.
It, but I would think that this is the sort of thing that would start to generate an uprising personally. But, you know, a lot of people are more than happy to just go along with it as long as it makes their lives easier.
If there's an uprising in Australia, is it a prison riot? That's the question.
I suppose so.
So I also wanted to look at some of the more extreme cases in other countries, because I think that this is the direction that ultimately many states want to go outside of Australia. So let's have a look at California, for example, where there is a gender clinic. This is an article from the Postmillennial titled California Gender Clinic Treats Patients as Young as 2 years Old. So it seems like things are getting more and more extreme in the gender ideology circles.
Is this from the video that's been going around that I've seen where they say, oh, toddlers can know their gender, etc., that's been generating some controversy?
Well, there's been lots of that. It's almost difficult to pin it down to one thing because so many leftist institutions that are promoting this stuff are saying the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, they do all believe this, and, well, or at least say that they believe it.
So the article reads, the University of San Francisco's Benioff Children's Hospital Child and Adolescent Gender Center, or UCSF.
You don't need one of those.
Yes.
A reasonable and sane society does not need a children's gender center.
So the UCSF is offering treatment through its transgender health center to children as young as two. Speaking on a promotional video to potential parents and their families, mental health director Diane Ehrensaft, I think it's pronounced, I'm not entirely sure, said that they see children as young as two and as old as 25, and she describes her own child as gender creative. I'm not even sure what that means, but
and children generally are quite creative, and it's not a surprise if children who don't really understand the world may not necessarily understand the gender distinction yet. So you're probably just taking, you know, childhood creativity and attaching your own ideology to it.
But yeah, it's terrifying that they're doing this to children.
It's monstrous.
And if you move on to the next one, here we have, I think this is off of their website, and they say, in the absence of solid evidence, providers often must rely on the expert opinions of innovators and thought leaders. And this is people who are supposedly healthcare professionals.
I mean, this is
if there is no evidence, we are going to just rely on ideology, is what they're explicitly saying.
This is a religious statement.
It is indeed. They have no evidence for what they're doing, and they're explicitly saying so, and they're still able to get away with this. And that's the most insufferable, well, not really, but it's one of the insufferable parts of it.
I would ask if these people recognise that these thought leaders have an incentive to push things in one particular direction. But of course they do. They're all in on it. This is the point.
Mm-hmm. So one of the people that works at the UCSF is Dr. Olson Kennedy. And here she is trying to, I believe, prevent a CBS 60 Minutes documentary about detransitioning. And if you scroll down a little bit, Michael, you can see her here. So many of us worked hard to dissuade them from doing this segment. They are interested in ratings and they know that they have an audience. It's shameful.
I wonder why it is that they have an audience.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if a lot of people recognise how damaging and harmful this is to children, and yet you're still trying to block it. And
surely
you think
if
you're
a
good person.
Surely if you're a proper medical professional, you inform someone of the dangers of a certain treatment. I know that when you get a less politicised treatment, which is a weird thing to say, they say, okay, well, there's a risk of X happening, there's a risk of that. So you're informed to be able to make a perfectly good decision. So people knowing about detransitioning from a medical perspective is actually really healthy.
Positive thing. But these are the sorts of people who, and I've read many accounts of this sort of thing, they will tell potential transitioners, you know, puberty blockers, completely reversible, chest bindings have no issues. If you decide to get your breasts chopped off, you can just get them implanted. If you change your mind, all of these are lies. All of these are lies. So these people are not practicing anything near a proper duty of care.
I think people will view these kinds of people in the future like people look at the witch burnings, that it's just a symptom of a time that you think was more moral, but it actually contains some sort of horrific barbarism that nobody questioned because they feared the potential
the
for persecution. Yeah,
I think a more recent example as well would be lobotomists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody at the time thought, oh, this is a fantastic way to get the wife to shut up. Brilliant. So I'll just chop a bit of, well, just knock a bit of a brain out of sync and everything's fine. And
don't give me ideas.
I know that this is your ideal woman, but we look back on those people and recognise that, no, this was an awful, terrible
thing
to do.
So moving on, here we have a father saying that a paediatrician asked his three-year-old son, are you a boy or a girl? And I'm going to quote directly from him here. So he says, so my wife and I are in the waiting room with our son and the doctor comes in and he sees my son sitting there at the table and the first question he asks him is, are you a boy or a girl? So luckily my son understands the obvious tenets of biology at 3 years old and says that he's a boy, just like his chart says, he continued. The rest of the appointment I couldn't even focus because I'm wondering why in the world this guy's asking the question. And then I remember, oh yeah, I live in California.
Most based Californian right there.
At least he's got a sense of humour about it. Call me paranoid, but this is where I think we're heading based on other things that have happened. In Ohio, a couple lost custody of their teenager for refusing them hormone treatment, he said, sharing an article headline from the Washington Times that read, religious parents lose custody of transgender teen for refusing hormone treatment. And I'm quoting again, and a divorced Texas couple who are in a court battle over whether or not to let their 7-year-old son transition from a boy to a girl, he added, with a BBC News headline that read, Texas parents battle in court for custody of transgender child. And I quote again, and many are saying that the new proposed Equality Act could lead to more parents losing custody of their kids who want gender transition. That's what he says. I'm directly quoting, I'm not misreading it. He said with another headline that read, Pelosi's Equality Act could lead to more parents losing custody of kids who want gender transition, with an unknown source. But I'm not surprised if it's Nancy Pelosi. She's basically like Skeletor of American politics.
She's the Wicked Witch of the West, except with much less charisma.
Well,
and sadly, not weak to water.
Yeah, if we pour some water on her, maybe she'll melt.
Sadly not. But just to point out here, the whole thing about when you're talking about 7-year-old children, 2-year-old children, when it gets to that age, if this child has some idea of themselves being gender fluid or transgender or something, that will not have come from any internal source. The kid will not have figured that out themselves. And especially when it's like a custody battle between two divorced parents, I have a pretty good idea where this gender affirmation is coming from.
Absolutely. So there are just two more bits that I'm going to read from this article. So again, call me paranoid, but I'm wondering if the doctor's asking of the question to my son to see if he can establish a pattern over time that shows that my son wants to be a girl. But here's the thing, my son is free. I'm not going to let him choose what he wants for dinner. And some days my son thinks he's a dinosaur, but I'm not going to let him transition to a dinosaur. And being in California, that's probably going to happen to people like me first, but I don't think it's going to be long before we start seeing parents lose custody of their young kids because they're not letting them transition to the opposite gender, the father said, adding, and I think pediatricians are going to be the ones who are going to start calling it out. Well, that's very optimistic of you, but I hope so as well.
I hope so, but it seems that many pediatricians are the people most guilty of pushing this.
And it's even worse than that, because even the churches are getting in on this. So here we have another post-millennial article. We're a bit post-millennial heavy here, but they've done some great stuff on the trans issues. The Episcopal Church, I think that's how you pronounce it. Embraces sex changes for children of all ages. So they've officially endorsed the medical transitions for trans-identified children at all ages with the adoption of Resolution DO66, which is sounds awfully like Order 66, doesn't
it? It does a little bit.
It affirms the church's support for gender-affirming care of any type and for any age, including children, which is horrifying. I mean, I don't know what part of Christian scripture that permits this.
I'm pretty sure if we were to ask Connor, he would say that, in fact, this is directly contradictory.
I know, that's what I'm getting at.
Perhaps, yes.
Of course it is. So the final thing I wanted to draw attention to is just a bit of weirdness that I thought I'd tack on at the end. So leftists raise thousands for biological male who watched little girls changing clothes in the YMCA women's locker room.
Not surprising, not the first time.
Mm-hmm. So following the banning of an 80-year-old woman from her local YMCA for expressing discomfort in sharing the locker room with a biological male who identifies as a woman who has been escorting young girls in a day camp to the restroom where they undress, YMCA worker Clementine Adams, I'm sure that's not his real name, has seen an explosion in donations to a GoFundMe set up to cover Adams' transition surgery and expenses. So they're banning an 80-year-old woman, that poor old lady, from, what, going swimming, I suppose. I don't know what she's doing. But they're banning her from this facility for having concerns about this man going into the women's changing rooms. And then this bloke gets money raised for them. It's like a complete inversion of justice, isn't it? It's so annoying. So apparently the fundraiser, which has gathered $14,571 of $25,000, was started in February by Adams to cover two important surgeries Adams wanted.
And these, at the end of the day, are essentially cosmetic surgeries.
Yes.
Okay, and so without the ideology attached, do you think, I don't know, say, Samantha from down the club on Saturday nights or something would be able to generate this amount of money if she just wanted some lip filler? I very much doubt
it. I'm so cynical about the state of our society.
Perhaps, maybe.
I want plastic surgery to be beautiful. Maybe they cry on TikTok and then it goes viral and loads of people donate money.
You might be right.
I hope not.
There would probably be simps from the clubs paying for it, you're right.
What is happening to the world, Harry? So it carries on saying, these surgeries are vaginoplasty, which constructs a vaginal canal from an existing tissue in the area, and feminizing the laryngoplasty, which changes the length of the vocal cords in an effort to give the patient a higher pitched voice. While the fundraiser has seen a few donations in the beginning, donations exploded after the July 26th banning of Julie Jaman from her local YMCA pool for taking issue with Adams being in the female locker rooms where he was showering. They said she. I refuse to use these terms. And I also found it amusing that they said that, oh, I was only raising money for these other surgeries. But they said, well, I've come to realise that actually I could use the money to support me in other ways as well. So they're just like, well, maybe I need more. which is just clear grifting on their part, isn't it? But yes, that is my daily dose of black pill for today. It's pretty horrific, and people really need to start resisting this stuff, pushing back. Otherwise, they are going to be harming children.
I do think the only solution might be the classic clear them out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not just the people on the ground. It's a gigantic collusion between those and the elites, the heads of government, when you've got people like Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, the Australian government, parts of the Canadian government, all such actively encouraging and supporting this and persecuting those who go against it. All of a sudden, I see this as a bigger problem than just hoping that, say, you know, there will be better medical professional standards. Mm.
But there are things that individuals can do. I mean, you can raise complaints, you can take them to court. If you're willing to do it, especially if you have kids, you're probably willing to do just about anything to protect them.
I hope so. You might have to take a few hours in the back to shield them, but yes.
Mm. I think that that's what needs to be done here, really, unfortunately. But hopefully we see some change. There is some positive change in Britain, where we had that specialised clinic closed down at the very least. But hopefully Australia, Canada, California, do something about it, please.
If you enjoyed that segment from the podcast of Lotus Eaters, you can go over to lotuseaters.com to see all the premium content we have on our website, such as Harry's video on how the left remains an Ouroboros of wokeness and still manages to win. If you'd like to see the rest of the content that Harry's putting out, you can follow him on Getter at Harry Lotus Eater. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.